Hey, this is Ace Frehley. I'm talking rock with Dave and Shane.
Yes.
The man from outer space.
Yes.
He's from outer space. And he's coming to this planet powered by 10,000 volts, ladies and gentlemen. The only spaceman that we know of.
Space
Ace Frehley. Lead guitar. Oh, yeah. You know, this is so awesome.
10,000
volts. And vocals. That 10,000 volts album. You know, how about that track, Walking on the Moon? Ace, we can see your eyes about it.
Everybody.
Hey, how you doing? We were saying Ace Frehley,
it's
lead guitar.
It's such a pleasure to be here.
Oh, my God. You know, I'm Shane's in Philly. I'm in Detroit. You got some memories from Detroit, I bet you, right? Some crazy memories. You know, Detroit loves you.
You know, in the beginning with Kiss, people used to think we came from Detroit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
I used to when I was a kid. Absolutely.
And then Cobo Hall was a 12,000 seater hall. And when we were playing Cobo Hall on the East and West Coast, we were playing 2,500 seaters. So,
yeah,
go figure.
Any favorite memories? I mean, just, you know, like, or is it all a blur for you at this point? All those years. 50 years, by the way. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm just happy that there wasn't internet back then. We would have all ended up in jail.
Well, Shane, talk about your favorite track on this record. 10,000 volts, man. Shane, yeah. Give it to him. Give it to the Ace. What do you got?
Ace, it just hit 1 million on YouTube. I mean, how does that make you feel? That's got to make you feel real good.
Makes me feel great. Am I supposed to get a check from YouTube?
I hope so.
Yeah, me too. But it's a very... the first thing I did was I copied and pasted it and sent it to my daughter.
Nice.
Yeah.
So she got thrilled by that. And
yeah.
I don't know.
It's nice to see that. It's attention, though, isn't it?
Lately. Excuse me?
It's nice to see that attention. Everybody wants... can't wait for the new Space Ace album.
Yeah, I just shot the third video called Cherry Medicine, which was shot Friday, and it will be released the same day as the album, February 23rd.
You know, this year has been incredible for rock, and it's going to be even more incredible when your album comes out. We love these Friday single releases. It's a way to rock into the weekend. Ace, this is your best work since your 78 solo album, man. How does it, I mean, do you feel like a kid in a candy store, like just with this magnificent record coming out? You must.
Yeah, I went back to my home planet, Jandel, and they they did something to my brain. And all of a sudden, you know, I am much more improved as a singer and a guitar player. So I don't know.
Yeah, your voice is amazing. Your chops are killer, dude. I mean, it's some of the best riffs that you've come up with. And you've got some killer riffs, as we all know. Yeah, man.
Thank you.
Ace, going back to Cherry Medicine, where did you shoot that video? Was that at your house, or there's a lot of red
Staten Island? It was an old mansion with a lot of character, and we set up in three or four different rooms and got a lot of interesting footage. And I think it's probably going to be the best of the three videos that we've released so far.
Nice.
That's awesome.
I liked all the ladies there. Did you actually find the red balloons? Did they get those red balloons in there that you were talking about?
How does everybody know this stuff?
You posted it.
We're diehard fans, man.
Yeah.
There was one scene where we were performing in a room and there was girls dancing in front of us with red balloons. And we also did a shoot where I'm sitting on a couch with three girls on each side of me. And I'm looking for the photo because I'll give you a sneak peek.
Oh, my God. Yeah, we sneak love it.
Peek. Is that correct?
Yeah, why not?
A sneak peek.
Yeah, that's it. All
right. By the way, this is the first interview. I just had one cup of coffee. I'm waiting for my second, and you got to cut me a little slack.
Of course, it's all good.
I'm not pronouncing a word correctly.
You're like me. I need two cups of coffee minimum.
At least.
Tell me about it.
Oh, man.
And sometimes three before a show.
Yeah.
But I'm looking for the photograph. Here it is.
All right. Can't wait to check this out.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, wait. Is that the
wrong one?
Oh, that was the first. That was the second one, Walking on the Moon. That smooth track, by the way. That's a killer groove. Oh, yeah.
Oh, jeez. Oh, yeah.
Cool. Oh, man. Yes. That's like an album cover right there. That's perfect.
That is a perfect album cover.
That's like Beatles-esque, you know? Uh-huh. Well, minus maybe the ladies. Yeah.
It's like Electric Ladyland there.
The whole English invasion.
That's right, man.
That's like Electric Ladyland, Ace.
Yeah, I mean, all those guys taught me how to play guitar. Jimmy Page, Jeff Beck, Eric Clapton, you know, Keith Richards, the guitar player from the Beatles. What was his name? George Harrison.
George.
Yeah.
Jimi Hendrix. I actually ended up roadieing for Jimi Hendrix by accident.
What was that like? Wow. Oh, my God.
That was in 1970. They were performing at a peace concert, and I snuck backstage, and they put me to work. Next thing you know, I'm setting up Mitch Mitchell's drums.
Oh, my God.
That's beautiful. Dude, that's
mind-blowing.
It's unbelievable. Nobody believes me, but...
I know you wrote this about this stuff in your book, but was Jimmy the one? Who was the one that really made you when you got that guitar for Christmas? Who was the one that you wanted to be at that point when you picked up the guitar?
Who did I want to be?
Yeah, out of all those guys.
I don't know. I used to stand in front of the mirror and do the windmills that Pete Townsend used to do. I could tell you that. You know, I used to, do some Jimmy Page moves, and Jeff Beck didn't move that much. Neither did Clapton. But, all those guys, the way they played, a lot of times I had to slow down the turntable to figure out what notes they were playing, It was a great time to be alive then, because you got all these amazing groups coming out in a period of a couple of years. And then what happened?
Yeah.
Here we are, 2024.
Yeah.
And we're all the cool new rock and roll groups.
Man, not many. You're doing it, man.
Well, hopefully my sound will revive and energize other bands to do the kind of work I'm doing, because I'm not playing very differently than I did back in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah. Ace, your sound is so iconic. Speaking of guitar, you're one of the reasons I picked up a Gibson. This is my baby right here. It's a 57.
That's the one I'm planning on putting out next
Yeah. Oh, nice.
57.
Except you gotta change everything that's black on there. You gotta change it to cream.
Right, cream. Yep. Okay. And then do you change the pickups too, or you have the, was it single coils, or you don't do the humbuckers?
I use
right?
DiMarzios.
Okay. Nice.
I take off the covers. I put a cream pickup, cream brackets, cream pickup. I even put cream plates on the back.
Yeah, that's cool.
The regular one and the one that covers the volume of home controls.
I might have to change mine out just to try to get some of that sound you got. That's cool.
I mean, but it wouldn't be that expensive to do. Yeah.
Right.
What is it about the Les Paul?
Come back to a show and I'll autograph it for you. And then,
oh my God,
triple in value.
You got it. You got it. Absolutely. I'm going to look up those parts right now online. What was it about the Les Paul that made you pick that up? And like, what is it about that sound? Is it the feel? Like,
you know, the first day I picked up a Les Paul and plugged it into a Marshall amp, it was like love at first sight. I mean, I don't know if that's love at first sight or love at first hearing.
Yeah.
It's hard to verbalize exactly what happened, but all I wanted to do was play on 10 and blast, you know, blast everybody else away. It was wonderful. You know, it took me years and years to develop my technique. What, 40, 50 years I've been playing now?
Oh, my God.
Actually, 60. Because I'm 72, and I picked up a guitar when I was 13. So maybe it's 49, 60, 59 years or 60.
Wow.
I don't know. I can't keep track. But yesterday was the Library of Congress's said that it was Kiss's 50th anniversary.
Yeah.
Or was it 2 days ago?
It was two days.
Yeah.
Did any of those guys reach out to you? You know, the 50 years of Kiss, February 1974. Did Peter, Paul, or Gene give you a call?
Nobody reached out to me.
No.
Oh, man.
Yeah, but I'd still like to write Paul, Gene, and Peter a little note saying, you know, we did it 50 years.
Yeah,
you did.
Are you? You know, I know last time when Paul was on the Stern Show and made that comment, that was obviously outrageous. I mean, have you guys talked since then? Are you guys all right now? Do you think you would be? I mean, you guys all go so far back.
I don't know what caused or went through Paul's head when he made that statement. You know, if me and Peter performed with them on stage, we'd sound like piss. But it really aggravated me, and I got really mad, and I went on the Ed Trunk show and promised to come back in a month or 2 weeks and spill some dirt. And then speaking to my attorney and my manager and my agent and my close confidants, they all said, you know, why don't you take the high road? And I did. And I really didn't spill anything that most people didn't know already.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, hopefully it'd be great to see you guys all together. I know like the band's done and all that, and was it tough for you to not be there? I mean, I kept thinking, we all kept thinking, God, you know, at least something, you know? I mean, not to go back into that, but it was like, it wouldn't have been the proper way to end it without you and Peter coming out at least for something, you know?
Just not the same, yeah.
Yeah, well, Peter, you know, Peter isn't the drummer that he used to be. I love the guy to death. We were always closest friends and partied together. You know, but he's had several injuries and he's just not the drummer he was, you know, way back when. But I mean, he can still get up there and play, you know, 3, 4, 5 songs. There was no reason why when we got inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame that Peter couldn't have performed, you know, 3 songs flawlessly, because, you know, He's still got the chops. He just, you know, can't play 2 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was 10 years ago, I think, now, Shane, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ace, would it be cool to just hang with those guys, you know, one more time in private and jam out some of those songs from 74 one more time?
Which guys?
Oh, Gene, Paul, and Peter. You know, some Nothing to Lose.
I really don't think it's ever going to happen again. I think too much water has gone under the bridge, and yeah. I'm super busy with my new career. Just as Kiss ends up winding down their career, which makes no sense whatsoever. They must think it was some kind of master plan that as soon as they did the last show, I was going to, you know. It wasn't all. There was no master plan. It's just that I was rushing to finish my record because it was 6 months behind. And finally, you know, we just cut some corners. And the album would have been a lot better if I had another month to do. But I'm still very happy with the record. I don't think there's any filler.
Oh, man, and, no.
A large variety of songs on the record. You know, there's a ballad, there's a instrumental, there's a cover from a gal named Nadia. Mm. Actually, her song is the ending track over the liner notes for the movie Transporter.
Okay.
Nice. Okay.
Why not go? Cool.
It's a great movie.
End of Transporter, where with Jason Statham. That's Life of a Stranger, except my version is a lot different.
Yeah.
What the demo back Into My Arms Again, Ace, has been around mid-80s. An incredible song. Fans, hardcore fans like us, have been wanting this to come out for so long. What's it going to feel like to get that finally out and about?
Yeah, I pretty much forgot about that song. And then I was sitting in Steve Brown's studio and we were like going through Ace songs, and all of a sudden he saw this demo, Back Into My Arms Again. He goes, "What's that?" I go, "It's something I recorded 35, 40 years ago. And he played about 30 seconds of it and he goes, "Wow, this is a great song." I said, "Why, you think we should do it?" He goes, "Yeah."
Yeah. What was it like working with Steve? I mean, for him to be such a huge Kiss fan, I mean, we saw one of the interviews, I think one of the radio stations talked with you, and, you know, I think it was a Jersey station. He was so fired up, and you were fired up, and like just the way you guys were like brothers. I mean, talk about that relationship and what it's like, you know, working with a co-writer producer on this.
With who?
With Steve Brown, right?
Oh, me and Steve, magic happens every time me and Steve get together. I can't put my finger on it. I can't verbalize it. You know, the first song we wrote was Walking on the Moon, which you've heard. Yeah. And he talked about some lyrics for this song, and Walking on the Moon wasn't the last lyric in the chorus. I said, "Come over to my house. I want to rewrite the lyrics with you. We'll rewrite some of the song and call it Walking on the Moon." And he was thrilled with the final outcome, and so was I.
Man, that's genius. Genius work, both of you guys, man. So good.
Thank you.
You always like to do a cover. A lot of bands have covered your songs, the Melvins, the Donnas, Red House Painters, Skin Yard. Several grunge bands have covered.
Red House Painters?
Yeah, did you ever hear that version? That's wild.
I heard of the Blue House Painters.
The Red House Painters do an acoustic, a really soft acoustic version of Shock Me. You got to hear it. It's bizarre, but it's good.
Let me write that down. I'm going to look it up after we get off the phone. What's it called? Red House Painters?
Red House Painters. And then they cover Shock Me. I think it's online.
That's singular or plural?
Plural.
Red House Painters.
Painters, yep.
I got to check it out now, too. That's awesome.
The Melvins do love thing.
Two of mine?
Shock Me. And it's brilliant. It's really cool. Mark Kozelek, the singer, he was in Almost Famous. He was in that band in Almost Famous, but he big indie guy, and he always liked to cover the stuff that he grew up on, and that song was a song that he grew up on.
That's wild.
Yeah.
But I don't even realize how many people have covered my songs.
Well, there's a lot of grunge bands did. Did you like that whole grunge thing?
Didn't the Foo Fighters cover one of my songs?
Yeah.
I know they did Detroit Rock City Live. I know that.
Yeah.
I think I remember that, which was weird, interesting with three guitars. And I think Paul was there actually. But yeah, they did. I know they did that.
Getaway or on record?
Something.
Maybe I'm mistaken. I have no memory.
They might have done Speeding Back to My Baby. I know that's been covered a lot.
They might have done.
Yeah.
But do you like that when they cover you?
I'm sorry.
Do you like that when bands pay homage to you like that?
Do I like their version?
No, do you like when bands do that, Ace? When they give you
cute. You know, I do it all the time. Every time I do an Origins volume, it's all, you know, other people's material. But it's people's material that influenced me in my 60s. And, you know, it's when I was a teenager and early 70s. So I try to keep it within that genre. I'm not going to do a Taylor Swift song tomorrow. Have you ever seen that video where she dresses up as me in 2015 playing with Keith Urban?
No, I haven't actually.
I've not.
I've got to check that out. I like Taylor even more now.
I got better moves than I got, I tell you.
Nice. Hey, Ace, you know, you talk about Origins. Those early days, in, you know, Shane and I are obsessed with early New York rock and roll, I guess late 60s, early 70s. What was all that like, especially like before Kiss took off? What was it like for you coming up in that, being inspired by that? What stood out to you about New York rock in that era?
Well, I mean, it was a big New York rock scene. And, you know, I think one of the biggest groups at the time, even bigger than us, was the New York Dolls.
Yeah.
And I became really, really good friends with Arthur Kane. We did some shows together. We did some shows with the, what's that old girl band with Lita Ford?
The Runaways?
The Runaways.
Some shows with the Runaways. I dated Jackie Fox for a little while, the bass player.
Amazing.
It was crazy back then. I can't even describe what it was like.
Like you said, thank God there was no internet or Facebook or something, right?
I'm working on a second book, and I'm trying to capture the essence of what it was like back then. But I'm having trouble doing that because, you know, once you put something into words, it loses something. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, tell us more about the book. What's the book about?
What's it? It's just a continuation of my ridiculous life.
Nice.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's great.
There's a couple fans we have, friends of the show, that wanted to ask some questions. I have a question from a guy named Randy Smith here. He wanted to know, what did you think about the Dynasty album now looking back on it? I know that you weren't crazy about it at the time, and the Elder and that whole period. What do you think of that record now?
I always thought it was a good record. I just had some time, you know, I would sometimes have problems with Bob Ezrin. He, you know, He was used to working with studio musicians, and I'm not a studio musician. So, you know, he expected solos to just fly out of my head. And a lot of times they didn't, you know. Maybe it was because I had a hangover from the night before, or be the whatever the reason, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes me and him just, you know, he got frustrated with me. Then, you know, I'd go out and next thing I know, he had Dick Wagner come back and do a solo on one of my tracks without even letting me know. I only found out until after the album was released, which I thought was a little underhanded.
Most definitely.
Yeah.
So is that... That's the type of producer that you've tried to get away from ever since those days, right, Ace?
I've always liked Bob Ezrin. We wrote a song together, Dark Light.
Yeah.
The Elder. But we always didn't see eye to eye, especially on The Elder. Even though we worked together and wrote one or two songs, I told him it was the wrong album for the wrong time and it was going to bomb, and it did. But Jean and Bob were convinced this was the record to do for the time. I said, no, it's not. And it's not that it's a bad record. It was just bad timing.
Yeah. Hey, after The Elder, I know you took maybe a few years or so before you put Fraley's Comet together. What was it like? Like, what was kind of going through your mind, like in that break, I think it was, right? Between leaving Kiss and starting your solo career. What was your headspace like? And talk about getting into your solo efforts at that time.
It was really tough being the leader of a band because, honestly, Paul and Gene did a lot of the legwork. And a lot of times they did interviews when I didn't feel like going because I had a hangover from the night before.
Yeah.
And, you know, they did press, you know, when I didn't feel like doing it. And, you know, they were kind of workaholics, which isn't bad, but, you know, in some cases it, you know, doesn't represent, you know, all four members of the band.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you still keep in touch with any of those guys? Anton, I know we lost John last year.
You remember when Gene was in South America and he collapsed on stage because he was dehydrated?
Yeah.
The minute I heard about that, I texted him. I mean, I sent him an email. And within 10 minutes, he got back to me. And he said, Ace, I'm okay. Just dehydrated. You know, I just had to take a break. And they ended up finishing the show. But he told me, he goes, Ace, it was 106 degrees with high humidity. And we were in the middle of nowhere in this, you know, rainforest. I mean, I would have probably collapsed too.
Yeah. What was it like? Ace, I'm okay. Nothing can take down the God of Thunder. You know that. I'm good. Or is that a terrible impression? It's probably terrible.
I didn't hear a word you said.
Oh, no, I was just doing an impression of Gene, like, Ace, everything's fine. It's okay. I'm the God of Thunder. Nothing can take me down. You know that. Shop at kissonline.com. I don't know.
Whatever.
I don't know. That's me.
No, Ace, what are your thoughts on all the online guitar players? There's a million kids out there now with guitars doing incredible things on YouTube. What are your thoughts on that? Pete Townsend came out recently and said, like, he's blown away by all these young musicians that are coming online on Instagram, on YouTube, and they're playing incredible stuff, but they're not in bands. They're not playing with anybody. They're just doing solos and stuff.
Yeah.
Do you have any thoughts on those young young guitar players and any advice to them?
Well, there's tons of great guitar players. And I remember when I was growing up, I'd go over somebody's house, and this guy would play note for note, you know, Jimmy Page solos and Jeff Beck solos. But when you got the guy in a band, he just didn't have the timing. And he was talented, but he didn't have the concept of the, you know, he wasn't thinking about a band. He was thinking about what he was playing. And it just didn't work. There's a lot of guitar players like that. And there's a lot of, I saw a ridiculous video the other day of a 7 or 8 year old girl playing guitar.
It's crazy.
She's a better guitar player than me.
Yeah, it's amazing. I still struggle learning certain things. I can't do arpeggios to save my life, and I've been playing off and on for 20 years, and it's like, yeah, kids playing this stuff. It's mind-blowing, you know?
Yeah, I'm really good friends with the bass player from the band Plush.
Oh, yeah.
Excuse me?
No. Oh, yeah, I know them. Yeah, they're great.
Yep.
Yeah, Ashley. I mean, I'm real good friends with their dad. He used to be a motorcycle cop in Port Chester, New York. And he used to bring her over to my house. I had a 7-acre estate with 3 houses on it. And she'd come over and hang out with my girlfriend. And she was a sweetheart. And then around the time I was doing Anomaly, I came up with that song, A Little Below the Angels.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
So I asked Mike if it would be okay if his daughter and 2 of her girlfriends like got up and sang the chorus. You know, we're just a little below. You know that deal?
Yeah.
And they did it. But ironically, just recently, I had Ashley over here to show her my studio. And she goes, you know, the day I did that, I decided I wanted to be a professional musician.
Wow.
So that warms my heart, you know?
Yeah, that's so cool, man. Hey, tell us about the studio you're in right now. Because, I mean, it seems like a very inspirational place for you, a place to relax. Like the ultimate. Yeah.
This place is crazy.
Oh, my God. Look at that.
Yeah, I have about 50 guitars in here.
Paradise.
Yeah, this is like my little spaceship.
There's a little spaceman right behind you there.
And, you know, I got another spaceship in there and another one out there.
That's great.
It's, you know, I got 3,000 square feet down here.
Mm. Holy shit. That's insane, man.
And then, you know, upstairs, well, my fiance has an art studio above the living room, which is probably this size
or bigger. Yeah.
And, 5 bedrooms, 5 acres, 650-foot driveway.
Are you down there mostly, or do you ever go up and paint?
I hang out here a lot.
Yeah. You know?
Sometimes I sit down here and watch my favorite movie, The Wizard of Oz.
Oh, yeah. It's a classic.
Oh, it's such a good movie.
I have giant speakers. I have, like, Tannoy's up there. Down here I got, what are they called? Atom speakers. You know the secret behind Atom speakers? They're made in Germany, but the tweeters are radio. They're not circular, and it's less air fatigue, you know, when you're mixing and working. So, you can work maybe an extra hour without your ears going.
Wow. That's huge. That's like huge for creativity and everything, right?
Atom speakers. I recommend them very highly.
I'll check them out. What, Ace, have you ever played the Dark Side of the Moon while you're watching that movie.
Who, what? South Side of the Moon? What?
No, Dark Side of the Moon. They say if you play Dark Side of the Moon and start it right at a certain point in Wizard of Oz, it makes sense. The Dark Side of the Moon album makes sense. Like,
I've heard that. I've never tried it. You know, to me, that's sacrilege because The Wizard of Oz is like my favorite movie, and I wouldn't want to try to listen to something else while I'm listening to The Wizard of Oz.
Yes, that would be amazing. Tricky.
You know, that movie still holds up today.
Oh, it sure does.
Just like my 78 solo album.
Well,
oh, so good.
That's a New York groove, man. I mean, well, you had obviously of all the four solo albums released in September of 78 of the Kiss solo albums, yours sold the best. I mean, you had the biggest single. Like, did that feel at a time when I guess you guys were a little fractured as a band, did that feel really, really good for you? I mean, what was that like to have like that top solo record?
It felt great. It felt, it empowered me to, it actually made me realize that eventually I'd be leaving the group. Because I realized I was much more creative away from Paul, Gene, and Peter than I was with them.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, I wrote all those songs, and it was just me, Anton Figg, and Eddie Kramer.
Yeah. What a grouping right there.
Like just writing on the wall. Eventually, I knew I'd, you know, start my own band. And, of course, Anton was in it. Until he got the job with the David Letterman show. And you know, that was steady work. So,
yeah.
I said, good luck with that. I'll find another drummer.
Yeah.
I got to ask, will you play Into the Night live or do you play that? I think that's my favorite song of the 80s solo Ace stuff, Into the Night. It's a cool video, old school. It's a great song. Into the Night.
We shot that video in San Francisco. Okay. And I remember the part where the band's playing. That was in an intersection downtown in San Francisco. And I'm surprised no cars crashed into us.
Oh, my God.
Because there weren't really a lot of cops directing traffic. Like, they didn't really block off the streets that well. I don't know. It was crazy.
Yeah.
But
great album, great song.
Good video.
Yeah.
Ace, how do you? I know you're hard on yourself on this, but how do you consider your guitar playing these days? Better than ever?
I started rehearsing more so than I had in the past. So I'm usually picking up a guitar every day. Yeah, I'm going over some of the new singles that I'm going to have to perform live. And I'm feeling good. You know, I wake up, you know, I have a couple of cups of coffee. I do a little workout. And then I start working on music or do interviews. You know, I'll probably be rehearsing tonight, you know, down here.
Yeah.
Nice.
And very cool. This is my world.
Hey, so are there any nuggets from that 80s period where you were writing stuff left and right? Are there any more of those that you think you'll bring out eventually?
Bring what out?
Just old songs that you have.
I recorded so many songs. I don't know.
Yeah.
I might, you know, some of the old Frailest Common songs, I might end up re-recording, you know, and do a special best of Ace Frehley pack, you know, with,
yes,
you know, with like 100 songs. And
yes, like a box set.
And I have photographs and videos that nobody's ever seen.
Oh my God.
I also have like outtakes from songs that nobody's ever heard because they're edited out. Wow. You know, I have all the reels from what was that? What was the album that bombed?
Elder.
The Elder.
Yeah. I have all the solos that, you know, Bob Ezrin edited out.
Oh, my God.
I must have done, you know, a dozen solos, and he only used one. So,
oh, man.
That'd be amazing.
I find those other solos interesting. I love the solo on the Elder, what's it called? Under the Rose?
Yeah, that's a...
yeah, like half look, yeah. Through that solo, I break into Echoplex.
Mm.
Yeah. It's like it's one of the tastiest solos I've ever done.
Man, oh man. I love it.
I hope we get a release of that album with your solos on it. I really do. That would be unbelievable.
Awesome. Ace Frehley, man. Thank you, sir. This has been an honor and pleasure. 10,000 volts coming your way Friday,
yes,
the 23rd of February. Ace, you're the man. Thank you, sir.
But Walking on the Moon's out there, too.
That's a good one.
Yes, man. Sir.
It's a killer. Cool video. Yeah. It's fun.
And then, like I said, Cherry Medicine will be released the day the album's released on February 23rd. So that's a ways off.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then in March, I'm going on a cruise to the Bahamas.
Nice.
And do some shows. And then, you know, it's just going to snowball into a crazy year this year.
Are you doing a movie too? If you do a movie, I want to be your stunt double.
Oh, because my stunt double in the first movie was black.
Yeah. I figure I stood a chance.
Hey, I'll ask the director if it's okay, you know?
That's perfect.
You guys have a great day.
Love from Philly, man.
Okay.
And Detroit Rock City.
Have a great day.
Yeah.
Hi, everybody. This is Rob Halford.
The Rudy Sargent.
Hi, this is Steve Hackett.
You folks are just recommending a triumph
from a Talking Rock with Dave and Shane.
Yeah!